Today on Real Radio.
1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one," here's the word, "mediator between God and men. That is the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." What an awesome thing. The man.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. It's a series of lessons on what we often call the essentials of the faith. You know, a lot of folks use the phrase gospel truth, but even many who say those words have little idea what it truly means, or even a fundamental misunderstanding of it. This is what our teacher delves into in his mini-series called You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We need to consider the gospel. That it's not about us, it's about Him. And He invites us to come and to be with Him. It's God's good news to us. Luke 13:3 says, "I tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish." John 10:26. The word repentance is implied strong here, John 10:26. "But you do not believe," he's speaking to the leaders, "because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice." And I cannot read that without asking myself, do I? "And I know them, and they follow me." You cannot follow Jesus without metanoia, without a changed mind, without repentance. 1 Timothy 1:15 tells us, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save," who? "Sinners." Look, if Jesus saves sinners, then sign me up. I want to be in the front of the line. If sinners go to heaven, then I want to be in the front. Isn't it interesting? You say, well, you know, speak for yourself. I'm so incredibly righteous, Pastor, that God's going to be blessed to have me up there. Jesus said he didn't come for you. Jesus said, I didn't come for those that are healthy. I only came for those who are sick to save them. You see, all of a sudden, he's so good. All of a sudden, he takes the darkest hour and the darkest existence that we have, and only he can make them our absolute victory. All of a sudden, all of my rotten, stinking life of sin and using people and perpetrating this and sneaking that and snooping about that and peeking over here and manipulating that, he says, it's sin. And he turns on his lights like a light coming on in an abandoned home, and all the rats and roaches run. He turns on the light and we go, ah! And then look, then he turns the light on his own face and he says, don't worry, don't be afraid. It is I, Jesus. I've come to save you. And you go, right on, right on. Amen. Awesome. Hallelujah. Wow. He exposes it. See, as long as we're defending ourselves, he can't do anything with that. But the moment that light of his gospel exposes the truth of who he is and the truth of who I am, it's at that moment I fall on my knees. And I do what Thomas did. Behold, my God and my Savior. And that's good news, my friend. And I hope you understand that it's good news. If you had to articulate the gospel from the Bible in all accuracy, where would you go? Well, you would absolutely go to 1 Corinthians 15. That's what Paul did in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "Moreover, brethren," verse 1, "I declare to you the gospel. I preach to you the good news, which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand." That's how powerful it is. And look at this, verse 2, by which also you are saved. If, or the word since, if you hold fast that which we preach to you, unless you believed in vain. That's a great statement. Keep it on the screen, guys. It means this. Don't be a fair weather believer. Believe through and through. Don't join the Christian club because it's hip or fun or cool or acceptable. No, no, no. Accept Christ through and through. When it's hip and not. Look, I got saved in the 70s. We drove around Orange County. Everybody did this. Anybody from that era? Remember this? You drove around like this. Huh, everything was this. You drove down the street. Just people driving. And you I'm not kidding, man. You'd be at stoplights. And you'd go like this to people. And if they were believers or unbelievers, they knew exactly what you meant. Everybody in the universe knew what this meant. One-way Jesus. One-way, that's what it means. Did you know that? One-way Jesus. Is that politically correct today? This, think of that. He said one way, Jesus is the only way, one way. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Big difference. Okay, let's go back to that verse. Verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. That's from Jesus. You can read about that in Galatians 1. Number 1, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Jesus died for our sins according to the Old Testament. And number 2, it's found in verse 4, that he was buried. And number 3, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, according to the Old Testament. Verse 5 says the fourth argument, and that he was seen by, and he gives a litany of people who saw Jesus post-resurrection. That's the gospel. That's it right there. He came according to the Scriptures. He died according to the Scriptures. He rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. And listen, there are eyewitness accounts of his post-resurrection appearance. Now, if you're an attorney today, you're going, yikes, that's awesome. I can use that in court. I've got the intent, I've got the motive, I've got the evidence, and I have witnesses to interview. Pretty brilliant, if you think about it. Galatians 4:4 says this. Are you guys okay? You're so quiet this morning. You guys all right? I know that sounds noble that you're just listening, but I see some people nodding off in the heat. Do you want me to bring out that rapture trumpet we blew the other day? Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that's us, that we might receive the adoption as sons. He redeems us. Next, church, under this point, we look at the gospel is God's good news for man. It's to man and it's for man. It's for us. Again, the word gospel means good news. In Matthew 4:23, the Bible tells us Jesus went about all Galilee, all around the lake, all around the Sea of Galilee, 7 miles wide, 14 miles long, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. So here's the question. What do you read when you read the Gospels? What do you read? You read Jesus being first the one preaching the gospel. This is what we're to do. Okay? The Bible. Jesus did that. The gospel, listen to this. Some old Puritan wrote this, and I'm stealing it from him. The gospel wasn't given to make bad men good. The gospel was given to make dead men live. And Jesus did that. He went around preaching, shining light. In doing so, he's fulfilling the Old Testament promises of what the Messiah would do. He had first come preaching the Word of God. Thirdly, under this point, what is the gospel? The gospel is God's connection by man. And I want to see if this is put upright or put down on your notes. You guys, look at this third argument. What is the gospel? The gospel is God's message to man, Secondly, the gospel is God's good news for man. And thirdly, the gospel is God's connection, interesting statement theologically, by man. But you notice the difference, lowercase man in each of the first two arguments. Look at the uppercase M on man in the third argument. What are we saying? The gospel is God's connection by none other than the man himself. Who's that? Jesus, the Son of Man, Luke's gospel says he is. Well, wait, is he the Son of God or the Son of Man? Yes. Yes, correct. That's exactly what the Bible says. When I say connection, I'm talking about a word that is maybe not a modern-day English word, but Jesus Christ is the connection between God and man, and he is that man, capital M, as the intermediator. Big legal old English word. Jesus is the one who links. He takes the realm of God. There's nobody else available to do this. Jesus takes the realm of God from where he came. But we read a moment ago in Galatians 4:4, he was born of a woman. That's an amazing statement. You see, well, I don't believe Jesus is who he says he is. But isn't it an interesting argument? You and I have all been, we've all been born of woman. And that's no big deal. But for God to be born of woman, the Bible marks that down quite a few times. It's a miracle. It's called the incarnation. The Emmanuel, as you learn at Christmas time, the coming of God the Son into this world. And he links us to man, or man, I should say, to God. And Jesus is in the middle. Think about the cross, for example. When you see the cross, on either side of Jesus, think of this. He's bringing lost mankind to center, and he's bringing God to center, and he links the two separate worlds. One holy, just, and pure. One unholy, unjust, impure. And he is the man, capital M, that brings us together. Jesus is the gospel. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one, here's the word, mediator between God and men. That is the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. What an awesome thing. The man. Remember the overlay of the Gospels? Because John's Gospel is going to tell you all about the Son of God. Luke is going to tell you all about the Son of Man. When you lay them over, you got to come to Matthew eventually. And Matthew is going to tell you the God that has always been became flesh. And he was born of a woman, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecies. He is the gospel. He is the very one. And Colossians 2:8 tells us, Colossians 2:8 says, beware. Well, when the Bible says beware, we need to sit up and take notice. What's the danger? What's coming? What's in the roadway? Lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. Think of that. According to the traditions of men. Wow. That should be at the entrance of every college and university parking lot. I mean, honestly, really? Yeah, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men. According to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. Why? Verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Bodily, in skin. Think of that. You want to know truth? Yes, I'm in the pursuit of truth. Really? Are you really? Are you open? Yes, I'm wide open to all truth. Yesterday driving, I had a wonderful opportunity yesterday morning early to speak to a bunch of men in Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. And I was teaching on the power of God to change your life. And it was one of those gatherings where, you know, men come, they eat, and then they're still at the table. So it's these round table kind of things. They're sitting there. And so I'm going for it. God's able to change your life. And this is, you know, this is what Jesus does for us. And he doesn't leave us like he finds us. He changes us his way. And this guy to my left, turns out later he wound up coming up to apologize. He's from, his family's from Iran, but he's Armenian. He's one of the few lineage lines, if you know anything about how the Muslims exterminated the Armenians. And what year was that? 400? I forget. Doesn't matter. Not 400, 7 or 8. It doesn't matter. But it was so cute because while I'm speaking, he goes like this. He goes, "That's what happened to me." And I look at him, and everybody looks at him. He goes, "That's what happened to me. I did nothing but cheat on my wife all my life. That's all I did. I stole. I robbed. That's all I did. I lived for it. And he's, I was born in New York. My family were survivors, and that's just how it was. And then I met Jesus, and he changed my life, and I'm faithful. I want to shout, I'm faithful to my wife now. Jesus made me faithful to my wife. I want to live for my Lord, and I live for my wife and my kids." And I'm serious. I just stopped. And he went off. And he had his eyes closed, and he's just like old faithful, man. It was just coming out. And he opens his eyes and he looks at the guys, and he just sat down. And no one was going to say a thing to him because he was, first of all, he was from New York. And he was very buff. And big guy. He's a big guy. And so I was like, okay, we're moving on now. And afterwards, he came up and goes, "I'm sorry. I am so sorry for that outburst." It was actually awesome. And he said, "It just hit me, what you were saying." He said, "That's the reality of my life. That's what happened to me." He said, "The gospel changed my life. And my kids are glad. My wife is glad. I'm glad." And he said, "That's what the gospel's done for me." And you might be here today and you're saying, "I don't believe in the existence of God." I mean this sincerely. I'd love to find out your reasons. You might say, in the attempt to flatter yourself, that you've been educated. "I'm too educated to believe in God." Well, then come on out to hear Dr. John Lennox. You can match wits and education. I don't think you're smarter than he is. Bring your massive intellect and match it up against, oh, I don't know, some guy by the name of Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton was such a profound believer in God, he even wrote commentaries in the Bible. I have his book of Daniel. See, the issue, listen, there's a lot of brilliant people who do not believe in God. That's a fact. There's equally brilliant people who do believe in God. Albert Einstein was not a Christian, but he was a Jew who believed in the existence of God, and he had no problem reconciling that with science. You're not smarter than Albert Einstein. I'm being sarcastic right now with the intent to arouse your thinking, because it's not an intellectual issue. It's a spiritual issue. I have intentionally been a little bit to the point this morning because it is about the gospel, which is being systematically abused in circles of faith these days. Because ministries want to apologize for the gospel. There's ministries who want to avoid it. Well, I want to proclaim it because no one can be saved without it. And here's the thing, are you saved? You say, "Well, I'm a member of the First Baptocostal group, that's not going to save you. Well, I've been going to Calvary Chapel all my life. That definitely will not save you. Well, I'm not going to do it. Have you encountered Jesus? I say encountered in the present tense because he's alive. He's alive and he's real. And his message is the good news. So amazing. He wants you to believe him. Isn't that funny? What does he want from me? Why doesn't he just tell me? He's already said it. He wants your life. Can I write a check? No. He wants your life. Why? He wants to forgive you. So you can argue all this stuff scientifically, and that's cool. But biggest argument for God? How do you argue with somebody whose life was changed like that man? Listen, are you a Richard Dawkins? Listen, you know who can trump a Richard Dawkins? That guy that jumped up the other day in that service. You can't deal with that. You could say to him, let's talk physics. He'd say, I don't know diddly squat about physics. But Jesus changed my life. You know that drives people nuts. Yes. Don't you know who I am? I'm the world's greatest living. I'm sorry, I didn't know that. I just know this. Once I was blind, and now I see. You can't be like that because I'm an astrophysicist and I'm an atheist, and you can't. What do you have to say to that? I'm not an astro nothing, but all I know is I used to be a lying, cheating thief, and God changed me from the inside. Do you understand? Do you understand that nobody can resist that?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth. It's actually part of a mini-series that goes by that very title, and it's taken from Pastor Jack's collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth on Monday's edition of Real Radio. You know, it seems that the cameras of the world are all pointing to Israel these days. Have you ever wondered why? Because people all over the globe, including unbelievers, seem to know that this nation in the Middle East, which is only about the size of New Jersey, has been for a long time the hot spot of the planet and will be in the future. Now, you really need to be informed about what Scripture says about Israel. That's why we're making this special offer for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. We'll send you the DVD Update Israel from the Golan Heights. Pastor Jack and his good friend Amir discuss today's news, ISIS, the Iranian threat, America's role in the world, the flexing of Russia's muscles, and the pressure that's being put on Israel. They pass the mic back and forth as they walk through the key passages that deal with what is actually happening before our eyes. Now, I've watched this DVD. I was riveted. It's a great DVD. You should get it. So again, we'll send you the DVD, Update Israel from the Golan Heights, for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, you might be thinking, wow, the Golan Heights, I don't know anything about that. Don't know where it is, but believe me, you'll figure it out when you listen to Pastor Jack and Amir. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, Update Israel from the Golan Heights. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your contribution to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.